What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, September 26, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the rogue one, Gary Witta.
Witta Wednesday.
And here it is, Portillo Wednesday as well.
Yeah, Portillo Wednesday
Portillo
as well.
Portillo is here
look at
as
this.
Well. We have a meeting today. We weren't sure. I wasn't sure if it was going to go long.
Oh,
and
okay.
Jen's out of town now, so I brought my son to work. You know what I mean?
Take your son to work day.
Exactly. And he's very obsessed with this book you brought. What book did you bring?
Oh, okay.
He so loves the smell of it for some reason.
The smell of it? Well, it has that sumptuous new book smell
to
it.
That's a good smell. That's a really good smell.
He was licking it earlier. I know. So I've wanted to lick it myself. Real quick, just a quick plug. The Art of Point-and-Click Adventure Games is out now from Bitmap Books. I wrote the foreword for it. It's not my... I didn't write the book or anything.
You didn't write the whole book?
No, not the whole book. It was written by a bunch of kind of esteemed gaming journalists.
Oh, I didn't get a call.
Well, I said esteemed.
Ah, my apologies.
Oh, he got you!
He walked right Woo! Into it! He walked Woo! Right into it. No, I merely wrote the foreword, but it's a beautiful, very lavishly illustrated guide to...
You have a cool drawing in there.
I do. So they even kind of took my... Let's see if I can find it. Is it here?
Gary, lift it up for us.
I don't know. How do I do that? What do you want me to do here?
How do I lift it up?
How do I lift a book?
See, there you go. He wants you to get in that shot. Yeah, all right. It's coming. It's coming. Here, it's coming up.
This is my forward. There's a little
closer to your face.
Closer to your face to get in focus.
Okay. Closer to my face. What? Oh. I'm just going to put it over my face.
He doesn't. He writes things. He doesn't understand how to do
it. I write things. I don't know how to hold things. The whole reason why I got into writing is because I was told there was no heavy lifting.
Nothing left to hold.
Yeah.
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 I can wear my pajamas to work.
Exactly.
And there's no heavy lifting. Anyway, The Art of Point and Click Adventures. It's beautiful. If you have any interest in the genre of, you know, Maniac Mansion, King's Quest.
Ron Gilbert in there, I saw.
Ron Gilbert, Tim Schafer, Al Lowe.
Tim Schafer, not a fan.
Roberta Williams. Well, I mean, who
real
is?
Piece of garbage.
It's a really beautiful book. It's about $40. I think you can get it from Bitmap Books. Just Google Bitmap Books.
That's cool.
You can go find it. That's my plug for today.
I like the a lot of Leisure Suit Larry in there being very graphic, but you called out the one thing in there when I was paging through of...
yeah, it's interesting.
The way they used to age gate it. How did they age gate it?
So, in the original Leisure Suit Larry, because they didn't want kids playing it because it was a bit, you know, pornographic.
Uh-huh. Not a bit.
Risque. they asked you a bunch of trivia questions that only grown-ups, certainly in the grown-ups in the 1980s, would know the answer to. So
sure.
Do you want to do a couple of quick ones?
Sure. I mean,
a couple of quick trivia questions?
Yeah, I will gladly do it. I looked ahead. The one I can already tell you is...
Oh, did you cheat already?
Well, I didn't look at it. I mean, they're easy. All right, well, go ahead.
All right. Who has not been... And again, you have to remember this is from 1987.
Right, so I think I'm already disqualified.
Who has not been a U.S. Attorney General? John Mitchell, Sam Shepard, Ramsey Clark, or Herbert Browner? See, I don't know the answer to that because I wasn't grown up in the 87. Well, because Sam Shepard was a playwright and an actor.
Okay. I was going to say he was... Right. I thought he was the fugitive,
Here's an easier one, but again, you understand why kids might not get it.
Sure.
Which of these is not a cheese? Is it Jarlsberg or Halsberg? How do you say it? Jarlsberg?
I'd say Jarlsberg. Yeah, I'm a moron.
Jarlsberg, mozzarella, brie, or Riesling?
Well, I'd get this one wrong, I think. I would say Jarlsberg, but Riesling's a wine. Is Riesling also a cheese?
Riesling is a wine.
Okay, so that's...
Everything else, Jarlsberg is indeed a cheese.
Is it good?
The best cheese you've ever had.
No bullshit, Kevin. You don't know that. You don't know that.
Try it, dude.
I will.
What are you scared of?
Here's one that today a lot of kids might not get.
Sure.
VCR stands for Very Confusing Record, Visual Cartridge Recording, Very Complete Record, or Video Cassette Recorder.
Now,
of course, you and I know that, but would kids today know that? Because VCRs haven't been around for a long time.
Sure. Well, I think even then, wouldn't kids know that? That seems like an easy one.
I guess how young
are we trying to protect? A 13-year-old trying to get his rocks off playing
Leisure Suit Larry?
He's going to get that right.
He would.
Yeah.
Or he would Google it. These days, he would just Google it.
He didn't have Google
back
then.
But again, back in 1987, they didn't have anything like that. They didn't know what Google was.
You know, you learn
something
every day.
Anyway, Art of Point and Click Adventure Games, Bitmap Books. Beautiful book, well worth your time if you have any interest in the history of that particular genre of video games.
Okay. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindafunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, we have a special job for you. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. First things first, Straight Goopin' writes into kindafunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hi, G&G. As a podcast-only listener, I realized I have no idea what Gary looks like. Could you, Greg,
lucky bastard.
Could you, Greg, or whoever is hosting this Widow Wednesday, please describe Gary in all his glory?"
Why don't you just Google me? Do a Google image search. It'll come right up.
Because he doesn't want to. He's in a car.
He wants us to stir some shit.
He's
driving a tractor.
Stir that shit.
Jesus, Kevin's into it today.
I worry that any description of me is not going to please me. That's the concern.
Well, it's going to go one way or the other here, and I'll lay it
Gary,
out, and you decide.
Isn't that your fault?
I would say, imagine Greg Miller, beardless, older,
yeah,
shorter hair. There you
okay.
go.
Oh, I'm going bald.
That's scary.
I don't think. I mean, I know you think yourself but is going bald,
older,
but they don't
older,
see that.
An older, fatter, balder Greg Miller. Do you look at me and worry that you see your future?
No, I look at you wearing sweatpants, living your best life. I've been to your house. I'm like, I want this house. Yeah, no, you're nailing it. I'm in.
Thanks, man.
I'd probably put the black underneath the rim of my glasses. I still like these kind of glasses.
Oh, you don't like the half rim?
I don't like them. They look great on you. I'm just saying as a Greg Miller.
Well, it's different for everyone. You see, different faces work with different kinds of glasses.
Great
like
point.
Those rims work great for you. I've tried rims like because I recently got these, so I tried a bunch of glasses. LensCraft is doing the thing where you try them all on. And those rims, the kind of glasses that you're wearing right now, they work for your face. They, for some reason, totally overwhelm mine.
Well, it's because I got a big old head.
Yeah, you have a big head.
There was a long time where, now I need them more, I think, but even early, my prescription was super weak. It is super weak. But I use the glasses to distract from my giant fucking head.
Yeah.
I don't want
to.
Yeah, it's just too much real estate. The beard's great at that, too.
I want to ask, and I know you've obviously talked about it and probably done all kinds of videos, but you're talking to me now. How did you enjoy my hometown?
Oh, London, England.
Yes.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
What a great place.
I want to ask you this because there's a thing that goes around about how we don't have good food.
100%.
Which I think is not true. 100%. Let me ask you, did you eat well?
I ate incredibly well. That's the one. I keep saying the two big takeaways for me are, and they're both ignorant, obviously. Is the fact that I think, in America, when people think of London food, everything's boiled. It's boiled cabbage.
And boiled
it's this.
And, yeah.
The food was fantastic.
Yeah.
It's one of the few times in my life where day two of into the real vacation outside of the work where I was just like, I am actively gaining weight. I feel disgusting because I'm eating so well.
What was the best meal that you had?
Oh, Panda Musk, right? The artist?
Yes.
He took us to this five-star, or not five-star, one of Gordon Ramsay's chefs who's left and started her own thing.
Okay.
And they're going to go for a Michelin star, and it's one of those kind of experiences.
Right.
Right, where they come in, they got the everything's pristine. You drink a little bit of your water, they're there with more water.
Right,
doing this
right,
thing.
Right.
And this is what very the chef did. It's smoky and stuff. It was fantastic. It was all these.
What did you get? What did you eat?
Well, we did the tasting menu,
oh, you had
right?
a little bit of everything.
So, you went through the whole deal, and it's coming out on a mossy log, all this food and shit.
I know. Food doesn't come on plates anymore.
No,
I know. That?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Everything's on like a slate tile or something.
In terms of places I will never forget, Borough Market. Went to Borough Market and we had so much fun the first day there and ate so much that we had to come back a second day. And I'm getting the bratwurst with this giant bratwurst and sauerkraut all over it. We're doing the ricotta cheese.
Oh my goodness.
You know, a raclette cheese, is that how you pronounce it?
I'm not sure. I know that I did hear that you also had the most British of experiences. I heard that you had a cheeky Nando's.
I didn't eat at the Cheeky Nando's. We did a meet and greet at Nando's.
Okay.
And when you do meet and greet, you can't eat. There's no time to eat at a meet and greet.
Okay.
So Tim and Andy went back on their own and ate there, and then I ate at a million other places.
See, I don't want to meet people or greet people. I just want to eat.
I understand.
If it was a meet and eat, or if it was an eat and greet.
You just want to go to an eat.
If the three choices are meet, greet, and eat, and I can only take two,
sure.
You better believe eat's going to be one of them.
Of course,
Meet or greet is going to have to be off the table. I'll meet you.
Yeah.
I'll greet you. But I can't do both because I need that extra. I need that second slot. That inventory
and number
slot.
Number one's got to be eat. You got to rip it.
Yeah, I'll eat and meet. I'll eat and greet, but I won't meet and greet.
The food was fantastic. I loved Borough Market, and then for me it was. And I loved it was. I didn't expect. I didn't know because I'm ignorant again that it was such a beer culture.
Oh my goodness!
You've obviously and everyone's like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, I mean, as somebody who had never been to London.
You didn't know that England was a beer-drinking culture?
Not great beers.
We have fantastic beers.
You all drink beer. Nobody ever talks about all these great microbrews there and
this thing, goodness, and the IPAs. Yeah.
I thought it was all going to be Pilsners or whatever. And I didn't understand. You can, like, I said this and people are like, what do you mean? Because like, I love Shaun of the Dead, right? I didn't realize how awesome pub culture was. And like, what do you mean?
I love English pubs.
Everybody talks
English
about the pub. Nobody had ever talked to me about that. There's like 15 pubs on a block and you can drink outside and you can go inside and they're not blaring music. You can talk to each other and have a beer and you go up there and the food's great and the fish. It was fantastic.
And the architecture of the pubs is what's great. You can tell you're in like an
with some housekeeping. It's the final week to get shirtless Spider-Man stuff on Patreon. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames gets you the shirtless Spider-Man PS4 cover. Patreon.com/kindoffunny. You can get the Panda Musk artwork of shirtless Spider-Man. That is the fan mail tier on both those. The final days, get in before September ends. Today, we're brought to you by NordVPN, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I'm saying 4.5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
I say 0.5. One kind of broke while I was doing the morning show with Nick, and it's another Telltale story.
Breaking news.
We're just putting Telltale stuff together. However, we're starting with the biggest news of the day, ladies and gentlemen.
As soon as I saw this on my Twitter feed this morning, I knew it would go.
Woke up to
straight to number one with a bullet.
So many texts.
Yeah, I got a lot myself.
PlayStation is allowing Fortnite crossplay and cross progression. Thank you, Kevin. We go to John Codera, the president and global CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment, on the PlayStation blog. Following a comprehensive evaluation process, SIE has identified a path toward supporting cross-platform features for select third-party content. We recognize that PS4 players have been eagerly awaiting an update, and we appreciate the community's continued patience as we have navigated through this issue to find a solution. The first step will be an open beta beginning today for Fortnite that will allow for cross-platform gameplay, progression, and commerce across PlayStation 4, Android, iOS, Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, Microsoft Windows, and Mac operating systems. We see the beta as an opportunity to conduct thorough testing that ensures cross-platform play is best on PlayStation, while being mindful about the user experience from both a technical and social perspective. For 24 years, we have strived to deliver the best gaming experience to our fans by providing a uniquely PlayStation perspective. Today, the communities around some games have evolved to the point where cross-platform experiences add significant value to players. In recognition of this, we have completed a thorough analysis of the business mechanics required to ensure that the PlayStation experience for our users remains intact today and in the future as we look to open up the platform. This represents a major policy change for SIE, and we are now in the planning process across the organization to support this change. We will update the community once we have more details to share, including more specifics regarding the beta timeframe and what this means for other titles going forward.
All right.
They listen. You know what I mean? All bullshit aside, or like, you know, so many people are like, I saw it immediately. About time. This, that, the other. Da, 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 da. I think John's letter here actually really, really nails it, right? In terms of like, this is a huge shift for us. He basically is saying like, it's never been our policy before, but we recognize games are in a different spot right now. The PlayStation blog is mentioning Switch and Xbox One and Microsoft Windows. Like, that is all rad. Awesome.
Well, I mean, is part of the argument here that Fortnite is so big that it forced them to make this move?
Oh, 100%.
They couldn't be seen to be left out. And everyone else is connected, like you said, Xbox One, Switch, Android, iOS, Windows, Mac, and PlayStation over here, looking like the cool kid that's like...
Well, PlayStation was connected, obviously, to PC in iOS. It was just locking it outright of... Hey, no Switch, no Xbox. And that's where the big problem was. And you're like, wait, why? Why would you do this? It's so backwards. It's so not 2018.
Yeah.
And that was my thing at E3, right? When I made a big deal about it. I think it's my most popular tweet of all time of being like, this sucks. Don't do this. And so many people reached out, whether they were Rocket League players, Warframe players, all these other free-to-play games of like, well, this has been a problem for a while, right? But what you're saying is correct, that Fortnite is just so big that it brought this niche problem to a giant scope of like, wait, why is it like this? And to PlayStation's credit, I mean, it took a while, obviously, but I don't think turning a ship as big as Sony or PlayStation wouldn't take a while. they actually did it, because there was a lot of hullabaloo and hubbub.
Yeah, I don't think the delay was about Sony kind of hemming and hawing about whether or not they wanted to do it. They knew it made sense. The question is, from a technical perspective, could they do it in a way that doesn't compromise the experience on PlayStation and does it in a way that doesn't threaten their business model or their
The biggest thing too is, remember, like, this is literally the definition of a slippery slope. And if they were to come out and say, all right, fine, Fortnite can do it, then you would have Psyonix and Rocket League knocking on the door and being like, wait, what about us?
But it's a good slippery slope.
Sure. Oh, no, but I think that's part of it, right? They suck at me, you know. We'll update the community once we have blah, 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 and what this means for other titles going forward.
Right.
Right. They're admitting that, like, this is a beta. This is step one. We're getting our toes in the water, but we're going to look forward for the rest of it.
I mean, I want this across the board.
I know you do. Hold on. I want to get to that. I know exactly where you're going with this, because we always have this conversation.
Okay.
Charles J. writes in and says, greetings, Greg and Gary. So today, SIE announced a major change starting with Fortnite, extended crossplay beyond just PlayStation platforms. I'm not a Fortnite player, parentheses. However, Warframe cross-platform on consoles would be welcome. I just want to give Sony a shout-out. This is not something they had to do, and honestly, the backlash they had months ago seems to be a thing of the past. That's the biggest part about this, is that I'd seen Reset Era threads within the last month and a half of people being like, hey, remember when everybody was mad about that? Nobody talks about it anymore. They could have ignored this, right? But they did the right thing to not end up becoming PS3 era Sony again, the hubris era. Initially, it'll be a beta about Fortnite, but I think it's clear that this isn't the end of it. Hopefully by next year, we can see Fallout 76, Warframe, Destiny, Division 2, and so on. Kenichiro, Shuhei, Sean, Cerny. We may not be able to change our names, but this is an amazing step forward, so thank you. It must have been a difficult decision, but this also shows, me at least, you believe in the quality of your systems/services to make people want to pop onto their PS4 to play with friends on Xbox, Switch, and so on. Sincerely yours, Charles J. Mark follows up. kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Hey guys, Sony announced that cross-platform will be in beta for Fortnite, and it represents a major policy shift for the company. If it's successful, do you think third-party developers will push cross-platform in the future, or will it still only be free-to-play games? I personally don't see Battlefield, Call of Duty, or similar AAA titles getting cross-platform, but I could be wrong. This is always the thing when it seems like it's always a Widow Wednesday, even though I guess we just talk about this a lot when this happens, where you always escalate it.
I do.
I'm always just like, just give me cross progression between my PlayStation and Switch. And then you're like, fuck that. I want to be able to play The Division 2 with you, Greg, on Xbox.
I do. And I want to be able to play Red Dead with you. Again, when Red Dead Redemption 2 comes out very soon,
yeah,
which I'm immensely excited, dynamic horse shit and all of that great stuff. And horse scrotums.
Tactical. Testicles. It's testicles.
Scrota? What's the
multiple scrotums? I think it's scrotums. Plural. Just scrotums.
Scrotums?
Yeah.
I think like scrota.
If you want to start it, I'll start it.
Okay,
this is scrota.
So horse scrota that shrink and expand,
sure,
based on the weather and stuff like that. We obviously, this is all very exciting. This is going to be the game of the generation. But I'm not going to be able to enjoy it with all of my friends, because I'm probably going to get it on Xbox One X, because as I've said a million times before, I prefer the controller. It seems pretty likely. I'll wait for Digital Foundry, but it seems pretty likely the One X version will be graphically superior. Frame rates and, you know,
your whatnot, all your teraflops and your Xbox One X.
I want all my trilinear flip flopping, and this will have it,
of course.
But so many of my friends, like yourself, will be automatically on the PlayStation side,
getting my trophies.
They've announced Red Dead Online. There's gonna be all this amazing stuff.
Yeah,
I want to play with everybody, and I have to make a choice. And so I'm hoping that this is the beginning of cross platform being the norm across all third party titles. Do you think it's likely? Is this the beginning of something, or is this is this merely an exception that's made for Fortnite because it's such a phenomenally big game?
No. Here's what it is. Is it the beginning of something? No. The beginning of it, this was Xbox playing well with Switch, Nintendo playing well with Xbox, all of that starting, and us seeing cross-platform start. This is the next major step in that. And it does, as you start to take these baby steps on this road to cross-platform, where, yes, the next domino in this will be Rocket League. The next domino, probably, they're talking about it being beta, talking about their partners, seeing how they look forward. Warframe, I do see it. I don't understand it as being a third-party partner who has a free-to-play game that's already cross-platform. And I know Rocket League isn't free-to-play, but just stick with what I'm talking about. A cross-platform experience where you're doing all these different things. I see, if you're already cross-platform somewhere, I don't understand how Sony's gonna be able to look you in the eye and be like, well, we can't do it for you now. I think it's gonna be a limited thing. Is your game big enough? There'll be all these check boxes behind the thing.
Right.
But I do think it starts us on that path of, yeah, I do not think the Division 2 will be Xbox and PC and everybody plays together. I think the systems are still, in that game, maybe too deep. And I'm talking my ass here. I'm not a developer from Ubisoft working on Division 2. Huh? I'm sorry, I'm not, no. I feel like there's so many variables to those things. It's not even that. I think those games, let me dial that back. I think those games were designed in such a way of, we don't have to worry about cross-platform. Xbox and PC is not cross-platform already on those games, right? Like, you're not going to just jump in and play with other people that way. So, like, they aren't to this point of where it's ubiquitous like Fortnite
is. I mean, it requires a tremendous amount of cooperation, not just from the hardware vendors, from Sony and Microsoft, but also from the developers of the game have to do all this extra work to make sure that the games will play nice across all platforms.
Exactly.
Again, I think there's a huge benefit there. It expands the player base. Easier, less time in matchmaking, easier to find games because, you know, there's that larger a pool of players. Friends that are otherwise... I'm tired of this civil war. Brother against brother. You're my brother, but you're on the PlayStation side.
I didn't realize you were so anti-women. You know what I mean? Player against player, Gary. Well, it's a joke, Kevin.
Making a civil war reference. Player against player... As I've said to you recently, I'm actually really coming. I mean, most of my enjoyment recently has been coming from the PlayStation side, thanks to Spider-Man.
We'll get to that. You got a whole bunch of questions about that.
And Detroit. Yeah. I definitely have been. And today, I just saw in my Twitter feed a new PlayStation third-party controller that looks like an Xbox.
The scuff controller with the off center sticks. Yeah.
I might have to get one of those and try that. That might be the last barrier for me. But I'm all about building bridges, not walls, as you know, Greg.
That's what you are. If Gary Whitta is the man who will bring us all together.
I want to build a bridge, but so I want to demolish the wall that exists between you and me, with you over there playing Red Dead on the PlayStation side, and me over here playing it on the Xbox side. Right now, there's a wall. I want to Sony, Microsoft, tear down this wall, and right.
The voice of the people, Gary Whitta.
Tear down this wall and build a bridge so that we can be bros.
I think we're on the road to that happening. And now the big question for me is, who will be the AAA game that gets there first? Who will it be an Activision? Will it be two Call of Duties from now? Will it be Destiny 3? Will it be whatever? Whatever multiplayer experience. Who is going to be the person on an E3 stage that is like, and guess what? With Destiny 3... you can play across platform with everyone. Everyone in the Destiny 3 universe can play together.
Are you surprised that PlayStation has made this move? The last time that we were on the show talking about this, it was in the context of Sony saying, well, we don't know, we're not sure, and it seemed like they could go either way.
I am not surprised.
You feel like this was always in the cards?
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I feel like I've always been like, it's eventually going to happen.
Right.
You should have figured this out beforehand.
Right.
And I guess the one, and actually, let's dial that back, I guess. I was always saying that for sure, cross progression was going to happen. Eventually, they were going to figure this out and be like, hey, sorry about that. No, you can have one Epic account and play it on PlayStation, play it there. The whole cross play thing was a ball of like, how are they going to do? Who knows what they're going to do?
So just so that we're clear on what this means, let's say that I play Fortnite on PlayStation.
Right.
Or let's keep it more real. Let's say you play Fortnite on Switch or PlayStation.
I play it on Switch, yeah.
You are able to come over to my house on my Xbox, log into your Epic account, and all of your shit is there.
Correct. That's what they're moving toward right now, in this beta thing.
That's what I want.
So you have one Epic account that works everywhere. Now it gets better, Gary Whitta.
Okay.
Because, of course, this happens, and you're like, yay, and I'm like, great. And then I'm like, ah, fuck. It still means that when the Switch dropped, it became my main Fortnite account.
Right.
So that means I'm Game Over Greggy NN on there for Nintendo, because I just put gibberish there.
Right.
Because I already had Game Over Greggy on PS4, but it was locked there. And I was like, it sucks that now when I play on PS4, I'm still going to pop up as Game Over Greggy NN, right? Fortnite tweets. For players who created an extra account to play Fortnite on multiple console platforms, we're working on two things. Number one, an account merging feature to combine Battle Royale purchases coming in November.
That's good.
Number two, enabling unlinking a console from one Fortnite account and relinking to another Fortnite account coming in the next few days.
Okay.
So that means
these are things that you are excited about.
100%. Because then I can unlink my Game Over Greggy account and bring it over to
Why were you Game Over Greggy NN? Couldn't you get Game Over Greggy on Switch?
Because I already took Game Over Greggy on... it's not on Switch. It's on the Epic account servers.
Right.
So my original primary Epic account was Game Over Greggy.
Why couldn't you use that to play Fortnite?
Because I'd linked... No, I was using it to play Fortnite on PS4, and it turned out deep in the rule set was that if you use an Epic account to play on PlayStation 4, it's locked to
But
that.
This will now address exactly that issue.
Now I can unlink it and merge them and do all the stuff I need to do to just be Game Over Greggy everywhere.
Except for
Snapchat,
is,
real quick. If you're Game Over Greggy on Snapchat, fuck you. You're the whole reason I never use Snapchat, because you stole it from me.
Oh, that's not cool.
I hate that.
Who else would have that? That's not a coincidence, right? Somebody blagged that from
you.
Somebody
was definitely fucking with me, you know?
That's not nice.
Yeah.
So the good news here is that I feel like even though you could make the argument that this is an exception for Fortnite, because Fortnite is just phenomenally huge right now. It is not like other games. It's massive.
What, I might not be Game Over Greggy on Fortnite either. Somebody might have that. Yeah, I vaguely remember a conversation with Epic where they're like, the guy actually uses it. We can't take it away.
Oh my goodness.
I forget who I am on PS4. Who cares? I'm a man of many faces.
Who are you really?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what does it matter? So what this does do, again, you could make the argument, well, they did it for Fortnite because Fortnite's so big they had to make an exception, and maybe it'll just be this one-off exception. But what it does, but that, even that aside, what this tells you is that Sony no longer have a existential objection to doing this. It's not like at a corporate level we will never ever play with other formats, that they have now crossed that Rubicon, which is a big deal because it does now allow, at least for the possibility, and again in doing this they will develop technology and learn things and come to understand how this can be done better. They can apply to the next game and the next game, and hopefully here's this the is thing, the opening of the floodgates
is I feel it's not a technology thing, right? Fortnite, you know, wink wink, fucked up before and let everybody play together and had to take it back. Like, oh, sorry about that. You know, they accidentally did it. And I think Rocket League, Jeremy Dunham, of course, former IGN guy who hired me, started my career, and now works at Rocket League and is VP or whatever the hell he is at Psyonix Communications or some shit. He had been quoted of like, no, it's a we can flip a switch and it can go. So I think what it is it's mainly right now a beta for them to get in there, see how it works, but also for the people who are still inside of PlayStation being like, this could ruin everything, to see that, oh, this didn't ruin anything. This didn't change anything. More people are playing.
How can it ruin any? Well, how's it going to ruin anything?
There would be the argument that I have one Epic account and I can play on PlayStation, but I'm playing on Switch and I bought my Battle Pass through Switch so that Nintendo's getting a cut or Xbox getting a cut and PlayStation isn't getting a cut. Okay. They want you to buy the stuff, obviously, through their portals so they get the money. But who cares?
I'm surprised, actually, that people seem so excited about this news this morning. When we did the last show where we talked about whether or not cross-platform play would be coming to PlayStation, and I went on a bit of a rant about, well, they should, because we need cross-platform, and I want to play with you, and all that kind of stuff. I went back later and watched the Twitch stream, because, you know, I desperately need people in the chat to validate me and make me feel good about myself. You know, I just need it.
Somebody's got to.
If I go back and watch the Twitch chat of this today, and there aren't a bunch of people in there saying that I'm great, I'm no good to anyone for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I'm in pause. My wife comes home. She sees me sitting there simmering. Oh, sorry. What is
like,
it?
Did you write that Star Wars thing? Well, you're like, I can't write anything. I wasn't good on the show.
No, she would just look at me and say, no good comments in the Twitch chat today.
She knows
me so well. Yeah. But I'm like, oh, it's so nice to see you. I've made dinner. She's like, oh. People were kissing your ass.
Clean
in the
house. I made a turkey. Yeah. Wrote two new screenplays.
So my mood is completely dependent on.
They're going to be behind you. Like, I mean, like.
But the point I'm making is, at the time that I was going on about, a bunch of people, the stream was filled up with people saying, cross-platform, who needs it? I don't really care that much about that. I just want to play with my own people. But now that it's actually happening, people do seem excited.
It's called Stockholm Syndrome. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when PlayStation had no achievement system and I was like, I don't need it.
Right.
Then they got trophies. Like, this is great. You know what I mean? It's kind of like when PlayStation won't let anybody change their name. And I'm like, I don't need it. And one day, maybe kind of, they will. And everybody will be like, oh, man, that's a great idea.
God, it's weird to think that there was a time before trophies. I don't know how you... That must have been a completely different
reality. I was just wasting my time. I played so many games. Yeah. I was wasting my
playing
time
all
just
those
having
games,
fun.
Having all that fun.
What was I thinking?
For nothing.
It's stupid.
For no reason.
It's totally
because there were no trophies.
Yeah, we watched one yesterday. Another stupid game. It looks like it's a 10-minute platinum. Very excited to play it eventually.
You know, we have the first platinum in our house.
Save
it. Are we going to get to that?
There's reader mail coming up about you. Don't worry.
Okay.
Number two, Xbox has announced X018. We're going to kick it over to, I pulled this from Xbox. On today's Inside Xbox episode, Phil Spencer announced X018, a global celebration of all things Xbox filled with news, first looks, and surprises. Hosted on Saturday, November 10th at the 4th annual Xbox Fan Fest Mexico City. More than 10,000 fans will join us on site. But you don't have to travel to Mexico to be part of X018. We will live stream all the X018 action on our biggest Inside Xbox episode yet, so fans all around the world can participate online. Whether you've been with us for years, months, weeks, or are still considering joining our global community, this is a moment where all of us can come together. Mark your calendars for Saturday, November 10th, and tune into Mixer throughout the weekend of November 10th through 11th for additional Xbox 018 news. More details, visit xbox.com/X018.
Is this something they do every year?
They do the Fan Fest. This is their fourth year of doing the Fan Fest. And then the Xbox like event had happened before. Kevin, can you grab
me,
Tim?
Well, I'm wondering, because the Xbox is about 18 years old, isn't it? Because it came out, the first Xbox came out in 2000. Ooh. So I'm wondering if the 18 is somehow referencing the fact that this is the 18th year of the Xbox.
Kevin, can you grab Tim?
Sure.
Thank you. Because Tim was talking about this yesterday. He was reading about it, and he was telling me that, yeah, they haven't done it in X number of years. It's been years since they did a proper, like, hey, here's this event where we're going to announce stuff. And what it really sounds like, right, is like, hey, we're going to make our own PSX. And it also sounds like, hey, where the fuck is any news about PSX this year?
Right.
Because there's still no confirmation or denial publicly.
Usually they just do this at E3.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah. Yeah, they usually do that. Or, you know, they'll have Microsoft conferences.
I've never understood the point of doing it at E3, though, because you get the news cycle for maybe a half a day before then Sony comes out and does their thing.
Well, that's why PSX and then now X018 makes sense.
Tim's joining us.
I doubt you know this off the top of your head, but you told me yesterday they haven't done an X0 event in how many years? Like, when was the last time they did it?
I don't know if it's they haven't done one, but the last major one where it wasn't just like a fan community expo thing, where it was actually like there was a quote-unquote press conference, was in 2006.
That is a long time ago.
That was pretty major. Where they there was the first gameplay footage of the first Assassin's Creed, the reveal of BioShock, which at the time was
that would
Xbox
have been early
exclusive.
In the 360 era,
yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Halo Wars was announced, and ton of other stuff. The Xbox.
That was a big deal.
The Xbox 360 HD DVD drive.
Oh, man. That took off, too. Yeah.
But King I mean, Kong. That was
oh, God, I bought that
a pretty
thing.
Major conference, though.
Well, yeah, no, totally. So, I mean, this seems like it's going to be the same thing. Like, from the fact they're pitching, the fact they're doing this, and it totally feels like they're trying to fill that void that, hey, it appears there's no PSX this year. And even if it isn't like them trying to fill the void of us, like, we're going to go toe to toe with them. And then it's like, well, is Sony going to step up? Are they going to have anything?
Yeah, I think it's cool. It's in Mexico City too, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And does the fact that they are doing this and they haven't done it in a while, you think, suggestive that there's going to be big things to announce?
If there's one thing I've learned from Xbox in the last couple of years, the answer to that is no. But I think that this is kind of setting the stage for later, getting people used to them having an event that they actually care about. I imagine there'll be announcements. I don't think they're going to be like mind-blowing.
I think it's going to be their PSX. I think it's going to be that level of announcements where it is, hey, here's this here's this new DLC for this game you already care about. Here's this like double A game, right? Like, I think PSX worked the best, right? When it was like, hey, Supermassive's here to do a playthrough of Until Dawn, and we all screamed at the screen and stuff like that. Don't get me wrong, when they blew your mind and did your dreams and shit too, that was cool too. Like, I think there'll be announcements, but like they'll be small.
Will you do a live reaction?
I think so. Yeah, if they're doing a press conference on Saturday.
They're saying it's not a conference. It's the longest Xbox.
Oh yeah, yeah,
or
yeah,
whatever it is. What's it called?
Inside Xbox.
2 hours.
They're saying their biggest inside. Yeah. But yeah. I feel like that's going to be a press conference.
What is inside? Like, is that like a vlog that they put out?
It's like their produced like magazine kind of show of like, hey, once a month we come out and this is Inside Xbox and here's all this cool stuff.
Tim made
a big deal like when it got announced it was going to be this big deal and I was like, it won't be.
I was absolutely right.
It wasn't. Nailed it.
No, you were totally wrong, Greg.
Kevin, run the graphic that says Greg nailed it.
You didn't. No, there's so many announcements. There's like, they're always announced new hardware bundles. There's like, what you just said about what PSX is, and you're totally wrong about it just being DLC updates and stuff. That's what Inside Xbox is all the time, every month. Every month, Greg.
PSX had
Final Fantasy VII remake footage.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The PSX does have giant announcements. Yeah. I think there will be something.
And Uncharted 4.
Big like that. Did they announce Uncharted 4 PSX?
Not announce it, but that's when we saw it.
Yeah,
the
I think like
demo.
Stuff like that is going to happen. I think if you look back at the history of PSX press conferences, is that what you can expect from this Xbox thing?
Are you predicting that Microsoft will have at least one like humdinger announcement?
Oh, yeah, totally. Okay. You don't do this. You don't come out. You don't have Phil Spencer out there talking about this thing and not have a humdinger up your sleeve.
I hope.
Yeah. Now, Joe Cross writes in, not about X018, but about PSX. He wrote in, of course, to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what's the deal with PSX this year? My friends and I look forward to it and attend this event every year and are extremely concerned there hasn't been any announcement yet. Do you think Sony may be taking the year off? And if so, why might this be? Might they not have enough games to show or developers to participate? Even the Capcom Cup, which normally takes place during PSX, is on a different weekend in Las Vegas this year, which seems like a sign. Or, opposite to all this, might a reveal still be forthcoming and details being finalized? PSX was announced very late 2 years ago, after all. If this is the case, I wish Sony was more consistent with announcements, which would make it easier to plan. Thanks for your insight and all you do, Joe Cross. Joe, I am ready to declare PSX dead. I don't know, but I do think that, like,
forever?
Not forever, but I don't think there's one this year. Like, it's September 26th today. I have it on written on paper.
There typically is one every year.
Yeah, well, I mean, since they started it, yeah, there has been. And yes, we've done it on this show before, and you're wrong, talking about how late they announced 2 years ago, I think it was. And we've crossed that threshold of how late it was last year to announce this, right, that they're doing one. I think we're leading into October, and so for it to plan an event in... Why haven't they said anything? I mean, I guess you don't put up a blog post being like, hey guys, no PSX this year. Unless you're like Kind of Funny. We're like, hey, no Kind of Funny Live next year. But I don't know. The whole thing, I feel like they should have announced it. And so I think that means there isn't a PSX. However, now that Xbox has announced theirs, I would not be shocked if they were back at PlayStation and be like, fuck, maybe we need to do one.
Yeah. Well, maybe
this might be the fire that lights theirs.
This is Xbox sliding in and stealing their thunder.
Yeah. So maybe we'll never know, Joe Cross. Maybe I just said I declared it dead in my eyes, but it was dead, and now it's undead, and we're going to get a zombie one, and I'll just look like I'm wrong, but I wasn't really wrong. I was right up until they brought it back from the dead.
No, you're either wrong or right.
Well, we'll see. You're on the hook right now with your prediction that it's dead, so we'll see.
I mean, I hope it's not. I hope I'm wrong. I just feel like it's too... Why is there... You would have announced it by now.
In past years, it was announced by this point, right?
Correct. And I'm saying the latest it's ever been announced, we've passed that threshold.
Yes. Okay. You make a compelling argument.
I'm scared, Gary. I like PSX. It's a great show.
I know. What are you going to do?
I guess I have to go to X018. Well, no, I got to stay here and do the reaction stream probably at X018.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
You don't want to go to... You're going to go to Mexico? Oh, you'd probably enjoy Mexico.
I've been
City.
To Mexico. I've never been to Mexico City.
Yeah.
Is it cool?
Yeah. I don't know. I've never been either.
Have you ever been to Mexico, period?
Why does it take me a second to think about that?
I'm saying Witta and Miller family vacation to Mexico.
No. San Diego is the closest I've ever been.
That's pretty close. Number three, GLAAD is adding a video game award. The Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation has added a video games category to its prestigious 30th annual GLAAD Media Awards. The Outstanding Video Game Award will be given to a video game with outstanding LGBTQ inclusive content. Award is given for an interactive experience that includes authentic and impactful LGBTQ characters or storylines. Judging will take into consideration the degree to which the LGBTQ inclusive content is effectively woven into gameplay, including player agency, and the world itself. GLAAD is one of the nation's largest advocacy groups, founded in 1985. For more information on the work of GLAAD, please visit glaad.org. Details regarding submissions for the awards are up there as well. You can go and nominate on the GLAAD website games think should be in the running for this.
And when are the awards?
That's a great question. Doesn't say in my what I have here. I can look it up for you if you want me. Somebody's going to try to you're wrong me, and I hate it when it's something easy. You keep me on my toes sometimes, Gary. You know, I wasn't expecting you. So I just talk like this, so it seems like it. And then I type GLAAD in here, and I do this. And then
he's actually on his toes, if you look at it.
I am up on my toes. November... That's the deadline. The deadline for the awards, November 23rd, 2018. Awards themselves are... The awards will be announced in late January 2019.
Okay.
Doesn't sound like it's like an award show.
Right.
In January, somebody wins.
Well, I tweeted out about this morning. I just said, yay. I think, you know, long overdue.
Yeah.
It's certainly the right time for it. There's any number of great games out there that speak to these issues in very intelligent and sophisticated and nuanced ways. And this is another way for them to be recognized.
Sure. I agree with all that. And then what I love about it is video games being accepted outside of just video game fans. You know what I mean? It is that thing of, hey, here's an organization that has been around for a long time. You hear its name in the news all the time, does a bunch of great work, and now they are looking at video games as an art form on par with movies or TVs or books. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they're looking that, okay, video games are a serious business and can tell serious stories and are representing our people, and we should reward that.
Yeah, absolutely. Good call.
Number four, it is your Telltale Rock Block of the day. I got two stories for you. One that broke later. One that's right here. So we'll start with the one on my main page. AMC almost invested in Telltale. This is from James Batchelor over at gamesindustry.biz. The story of how Telltale collapsed last week continues to develop as new information suggests the developer was on the cusp of a partnership that could have prevented mass redundancies. Yesterday, it was reported that the film's woes stemmed from the pulled support of a single financial backer, as claimed by co-founder Dan Connors. However, Variety now reports that there were two other prominent firms involved that Telltale was hoping to work with. Sources have told the site that both Korean developer Smilegate and U.S. TV firm AMC were in talks to invest in Telltale Games. The former is best known for online and mobile games, while the latter owns a variety of IP, including the rights to the Walking Dead television series. Parentheses, Telltale's Walking Dead games are actually based on the original Robert Kirkman comic books. It's unclear whether these negotiations centered around funding or potential projects, but the management reportedly told its employees on Thursday that discussions with AMC were going particularly well and funding was expected to be confirmed within a few weeks. However, later that afternoon, one of the companies is said to have backed out, followed by the other just hours later.
So they were hoping for a lifeline and didn't get it, basically?
Yeah. Hoping, apparently then, so it's Smilegate, it's AMC, it's Lionsgate, we're all, maybe this will save us. And they were, on Thursday, management reportedly told employees that it was looking good. That, and then the next day, Gary, lay off 200, or close the studio. 250 people laid off, 25 skeleton crew, they'll be back in a second. We'll get out, you're close to all of this. I want to talk to you about it because you haven't had a chance to talk about it.
Okay.
But I want to toss in the second one. This is from our friend Megan over at The Verge. Telltale pulls The Walking Dead's final season from sale. The final season of Telltale's The Walking Dead is no longer for sale. According to the game's GOG page, Telltale requested, quote, a temporary pause of sales. The game can't be purchased on Steam or via console either. Then Megan recaps everything we know about the layoffs, this thing, blah, blah. Although most of Telltale's projects have effectively been canceled, the future of The Walking Dead's final season, which kicked off just last month, has been especially turbulent. On Twitter, some laid-off Telltale developers mourned that they wouldn't be able to finish the game's story. Telltale announced on September 24th, however, potential partners have expressed interest in helping to see the final season through to completion. Then Megan covers all the stuff we said. So I guess really the big thing here is the fact that, what the hell, now they've pulled the game now after launching episode 2 last night today, right? Like it on PSN today, I believe, or whatever, for final season episode 2 of 4. Gary.
Yes.
Are you prepared to say you're the reason all this happened? Because you, of course, were hired as story consultant on the final season of The Walking Dead. You've worked with Telltale before.
Well, I worked on the first season as well, and that went okay.
But maybe you were too involved this time. You know?
No, I was actually involved far less.
Not nothing.
Gary, what's your read?
I'm not in the mood to make jokes about it. It's obviously it's a tragic situation, absolutely heartbreaking in so many ways. My heart goes out to the hundreds of employees that have been so adversely affected. I've been there. I got laid off back in 2000. I was working for a magazine company, and the rug got pulled. We kind of knew that things were bad, but we didn't know how bad they were.
Sure, it was like, just like
are they going to close this division or that division? It turned out they were closing everything. The whole company was going down.
Right.
And you sit in the meeting where the redundancy layoff, the George Clooney up in the air person sits in the room with you and says, this could be the beginning of great things for you, and here's your new health insurance, which doesn't really exist, and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just, I remember just standing up and walking out of that meeting. I was just so numb, so utterly depressed and just so sick of it. And there's been a lot of talk in the media recently, I think rightly so, about how the employees have been treated just incredibly shoddily. Yep. Like, the human cost of these things, I don't think gets reported enough. It is getting reported in this case. It's been very, very heartening to see Ubisoft and other companies kind of rallying around and saying, hey, we recognize that Telltale has a ton of super talented people because they do, you know, make great games. The financial mismanagement notwithstanding, Telltale had a sterling reputation. And that reputation is due to the incredible amounts of creative and technical talent that they had there. Now, the other companies want to grab a piece of that and,
of course,
you know, and offer employment to
for me
to these laid off employees. And so that's heartening to see.
To your point, though, I think it has some of the trappings of the Fortnite PlayStation thing, right? You're right that it seems to be right now the undercurrent and the editorials that are being written are, we have to change how games are made. You know what I mean? Because it is this thing, and we've talked about it a lot this week, but the idea that game developers are commodities to be traded, to be closed, to be laid off, and nobody cares on the other side as long as they get their game, right? Mm-hmm. Telltale is a big enough name for this to happen to that it seems like it's really causing a lot of people to sit there and be like, well, hold on, great, yeah, we could get this. I'm glad somebody is interested in The Walking Dead final season. How do we take care of these people? How do we give them a job and a career that isn't this turbulent?
Right. It's tough. I actually, you know, it's funny. I guess, you know, now it doesn't really matter. I had worried about Telltale for a long time, mm-hmm. since shortly after the success of the first season of The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead obviously propelled them to a new level of success. But I think it also, you know, sometimes companies and people, individuals aren't ready.
Sure.
For that level of stratospheric, meteoric success, where we suddenly, oh my God, we're so much bigger now, and they grew so quickly, and they took on so many new projects and employees, it's hard to scale that quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And still, you know,
this was my whole argument this week of like what went wrong there is that Walking Dead got big, and they're like, we can do this with everything higher up.
I think too much too soon.
Yeah.
And obviously there were issues with the management at the higher echelons of the company. We saw they went through a very large round of layoffs
earlier this year,
as they were, you know, clearly trying to right the ship. It wasn't enough. And I think it will take some time for the dust to settle and to realize just who ultimately, whose fault this was. And sooner or later, we'll have a handle on that. But for right now, we're just trying to kind of deal with the immediate, you know, kind of triaging the trauma victims of all of this,
yeah,
and figuring out how can they help. You know, there's a class action lawsuit now. They may be in violation of various kind of state and federal labor laws in the way that people were dismissed. You know, there's two sides to this when you get laid off. There's the personal emotional side, like the projects that you worked on for so long and that you're so personally attached to, and you love them and they're your children, and suddenly you walk into the office one day, nope, sorry,
yeah,
that's all dead. You're not needed anymore. And you feel worthless. You feel thrown on the scrap heap. And then there's the real issue of you go home to your family and like, well, shit, how are we going to pay the bills? Because no severance,
yep,
no health insurance
healthcare
anymore.
Healthcare till the end of the month?
I mean, it's not good enough.
No,
and, no. And I'm just tremendously saddened for all these people. The sad thing is, by the time I became very, very, very friendly with many people at Telltale around 2011, 2012, the time that the game was being made.
Yeah.
Since then, almost everyone that I know has left.
So much turnover.
Not just Sean Vanneman and Jake Rodkin and, you know, the key Walking Dead people, but so many of the other producers, Kirsten Kennedy, Kevin Boyle, Dennis Lennart, Nick Hume. I saw so many people leave. I think, A, because maybe after the success of The Walking Dead, they were poached and had an opportunity to go and work on something even bigger and better. Right. But also because I think some people smelled the blood in the water and felt like this isn't sustainable. When you're inside the company every day, you see things and are privy to things that we on the media and as outside observers don't see. So I think a lot of people, when my personal reaction when the news came was, I was terribly sad, but I've got to be completely honest with you, I was not terribly surprised. I felt like for people that have been close to Telltale and have been inside Telltale for some time now, the writing has perhaps been on the wall for some time. Whether or not it would end up failing this catastrophically and this suddenly, who can say, apart from, you know, a small handful of people?
That was the surprise for me, right? Telltale closing one day? Sure. I've seen, they did layoffs, they were restructuring, they refocused. I get all that. It was the fact of, we're in the final season of The Walking Dead. Episode 2 is 2 days away,
right?
Business days away. To be like, plugs pulled, it's over, we're not finishing it, everybody's gone. That was the part I was like, I can't. How do you as a company not have enough in the coffer to take care of your employees and get them out the door and finish
And I will say, I think it's tremendously selfish, the people out there that have been whose main concern has been, well, how are we going to see the end of Clementine's story now? That's the last thing you should be worried about right now. I get it, you know, and it speaks to the passion of the fans that they love Clementine, they love those characters, they love that world, and they want to see the conclusion. The fact that it wasn't just another season, but it was the final season, I understand. I've had people calling me up saying, can you tell me off the record, like, what the ending would have been? It's not even, it's so not important right now, whether or not there will be an opportunity for them to actually somehow finish the game. I don't know, I mean, what is this, taking the existing episodes off sale, what does that even mean? I don't even know, what is going on there, do you think? That's baffling to me.
I don't know.
Do they feel like they can't sell something if they're not able to see through the season?
That, I mean, I'm sure there's part of that because so many people did. I mean, like, you know, there's so many different waves of emotions and questions with this, but so many people did write in or tweet me and continue to of just like, well, I bought a season pass. What does that mean? Like, do I get a refund? And da-da-da. And like, I think
that's a very good question.
There's something to be said as a consumer for buying into it when they didn't know everything was going to go wrong, but to buy in now with a season pass. Like, why are you selling a season pass for a game that you theoretically
aren't
going to
finish? Okay, so obviously you wouldn't continue selling the season pass. Why you would take episode one off sale? You think at this point they would want to be gathering every dollar they can so that they can pay off whatever debts they have, do right by their employees, which should be job number one. I don't know what the hell is going on.
I mean,
on
well,
there.
There's the class, we talked about it yesterday. There's a class action lawsuit filed here in San Francisco County Court to go after them. So, I mean, maybe it has something to do with that because if you have income coming in, then yeah, you should be paying out these people, right? You should be taking care of it. It's a whole ball of wax.
A lot of people thrown on the scrap heap, and it's disgraceful. It's really, really sad to see.
Yeah, it's going to continue to evolve and change, and Kind of Funny Games Daily will be there to keep
but what
you up to date.
I mean, just the way that history will look back on it, what a. It really is just a remarkable rise and fall, isn't it? From 2012, when they won, 200 Game of the Year awards or whatever. I was there for all of that.
Yeah.
And you know, and all the meteoric success that they had. Now they're doing Game of Thrones and Minecraft and Batman and, you know, every...
Marvel, where they're doing
the
Guardians.
Every Guardians of the Galaxy, every license under the sun, and then suddenly... gone.
Yeah.
It's crazy. This is one of those things that the documentaries and books will be written about.
I'm sure Jason Schreier's working on it.
There's a lot to be learned. Right now, again, you can't even see anything because the smoke is still so thick. But once the dust settles and the smoke clears, we'll have a bit more perspective on exactly what happened and why.
Yep. I'm excited for that dust to settle and find out what happened, Gary. But it's still so far away.
I feel where you're going.
It's tough when you're pivoting from a serious story to normal stuff.
It is hard.
If
it
I want
tough.
To know what video games were in the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday. Sorry, let me step on your jingle. There's actually a handful of releases today.
You didn't do bad today, right? Battle Right Royale is out on Steam Early Access. Air Missions Hind is on PlayStation 4. Jack and Jill DX is on Xbox One. This is the 10-minute platinum we saw yesterday on PS4.
Jack and Jill DX?
Yeah.
You can get a platinum in 10 minutes?
Yeah.
So you're all over it, obviously.
I can't wait. Well, there's so many things out, like Life is Strange 2, Episode 1 on PlayStation 4 today. I don't know why it's just on PlayStation 4. I started playing that last night, but I had to stop. It was Jen's final night in town. So I didn't make it all the way through, but really enjoying what I've played so far. I'll talk about it tomorrow and have it beaten for Gamescast, so tune in then. Pillar on Xbox One. Pizza Titan Ultra on Xbox One. Think of the Children on Xbox One. We talked about this yesterday. Not a sponsored thing at all. No money changed hands, but all of the Kind of Funny staff is in Think of the Children as playable characters.
What is Think of the Children?
It's this really goofy game where you basically are a babysitter. It's kind of like a voxel 8-bit kind of looking, but 3D. And basically the kids are all trying to kill themselves. Like, they're walking into traffic. They're walking
like a Lemmings kind of thing?
Yeah, and you've got to run over and get them and try to save as many of them as you can from walking to the fire and stuff. Yeah. Surviving Mars just got harder than ever with a free Sagan update. Launching today, focused on adding a new difficulty to the game along with this update. Paradox and Hammond are announcing a brand new logo and a permanent price drop across all platforms. $29.99. It's already available. Vampire. Two new difficulties are available now on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Maybe Vampire. We aren't going to argue about that today. And then PlayStation put this out about GT Sport. We're pleased to announce that the latest free content update for GT Sport, patch 1.28, will be available for download for all players starting today, alongside a selection of brand new vehicles to take to the track. We've added a fan favorite course set against a spectacular backdrop and a selection of new league events and more. Meanwhile, you got a bunch of new dates. Dirt Rally 2.0 is coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch February 26, 2019. Overcooked 2 is teasing some DLC. It looks to be island theme for October 3rd. Jagged Alliance Rage has been moved to December 6th on PC, Xbox.
Jagged Alliance still rolling
along. And PS4, apparently. Squishes is coming to PlayStation VR on November 20th. Castlevania Requiem, Symphony of the Night, and Rondo of Blood is coming exclusively to PlayStation 4 via digital download on 26 October 2018. And then Drawn to Death, David Jaffe's multiplayer game, will be taken offline on March 25th, 2019, effectively making it unplayable.
I'm actually pretty excited about Castlevania.
Oh, yeah. Symphony of the Night is a great game. I've never played Rondo of Blood.
I feel like come 26th of October, I'm going to be otherwise engaged.
Yeah, you might be a little bit busy, but yeah, eventually you'll
still
get to it.
I'll still get it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, deals of the day, both Xbox Games with Gold and the PS Plus stuff for October is out. Let's start with Xbox. Overcooked is available October 1 to 31 on Xbox One. Victor Vran is available October 16th through November 15th on Xbox One. Stuntman Ignition, I remember that game, October 1st to the 15th on Xbox One and Xbox 360. Hitman Blood Money, available October 16th through the 31st, Xbox One and 360. Nathan Steele wrote in for Deals of the Day. I would have missed this. Thank you, Nathan. Saying, hey, Greg and Gary, new dates for you. If you missed it, October's Game Pass games were announced yesterday via the Xbox Wire. On October 1st, the following games will be added to Xbox Game Pass. I put it into Deals of the Day. I think that's where I put it, but I always forget.
Sounds right.
Wolfenstein New Order, Metro 2033 Redux, Lego Indiana Jones, The Original Adventure, Shantae, Half Genie Hero, Split Second, Westerdew, Double Barreled. And then, on October 2nd, launching day and date on Game Pass is Forza Horizon 4.
Oh, shit, dude. Yeah. So, I've been looking at the reviews for Forza Horizon 4. It's set in the UK. I'm thinking this could be my kind of thing. I like driving games.
Yeah.
I like more. I don't like the Forza, the main ones, but I like the Horizon, the more arcadey ones.
Sure.
I enjoy them. But I'm thinking, do I really want to lay out for another Forza game? I have Game Pass, so I'm getting it anyway. What a deal.
Now, here's my question for you, Gary Witta, contributor to Kinda Funny Games Daily.
Yeah.
Would you like to just walk away with a Forza code today and come back and give impressions next week?
Even better.
Perfect. There you go. Because we got codes,
goodness.
And I'm like, not really our game. Sorry, guys.
So excited.
Are
you not driving people around here?
Nah,
you like to drive?
Kevin is a big... Kevin has a VR rig in his basement to do driving games.
And I've been
sweet.
Playing it again
I
recently.
Will play it for sure.
Cool.
It's so
yeah, come
good.
Back and give us impressions.
Oh, do you have like one of those... The whole seat that
yeah.
you sit in?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember
amazing.
Who made the seat? Can you look that up for me?
I mispronounced the name.
We do mispronounce the name, and I feel really bad for that, yeah. But they were nice enough to send you a rig, and I'd like you to get...
What's that like
promotion.
When you bring girls over?
He's
married.
It's in the garage, and I'm married.
There's bigger problems when Kevin brings girls over.
The wife would be the bigger problem when you bring a girl over. I just wondered that like people could think it's some kind of sex swing or something.
Oh, no, trust me.
It doesn't look like a sex
swing. It doesn't look like a sex swing, yeah.
What do you play on it?
What's
the game you played
VR,
most on it?
The
Drive Club.
Drive Club. Drive Club VR.
Okay.
Because he's put the PSVR on it and he's driving.
It's
so the pedals
fantastic.
And the gear shift and the whole thing?
The gear shift I've lightly used just because it's so difficult to get like the driving down. You know, because you got to like work with the brakes and there's the only problem is there's no e-brake. So you have to hit the button, which... Takes you out of the
That's
moment.
That's cool that you have that whole rig, though.
It's amazing. I got a picture. Give me a second.
Yeah, look it up, find it, and show it to you, and please promote the company. Meanwhile, PlayStation Plus games for October have been announced as well. Free next month on PlayStation. Well, you know,
I have
PlayStation
Plus as well, so let's see what
Friday
I'm getting.
The 13th on PlayStation 4.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Can I
believe it. Well, it can't be added to anymore, but it's there for free now.
Well, they weren't shutting it down because of that? I thought...
Well, they can't add to it anymore. The game's still up and running.
I thought Final Fantasy VII was a big hit. Maybe
it was when it launched, and it then
didn't stick around.
Then, there was this whole legal battle that they're tied up in. Like right now, there's a battle over the Friday the 13th IP rights.
Yeah,
and it eventually got to the game where they're like, "Cool, we can't add any more characters, maps, or anything. We can just patch what we have. We can't add more to it."
Oh, that sucks.
And everybody was like, "Well, then, you know, you can wait till the lawsuit's done." And Gunn and Ilfonic were like, "Actually, we can't." Like, they're like, that's not how games work. We can't keep the staff around and have them work on nothing, hopefully one day to be able to work on something. Like, they need to make something to make us money to keep
this
going.
Right.
So it's Friday the 13th on PS4, Laser League on PlayStation 4, which we did a Kinda Funny party mode for you. You can catch it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Master Reboot on PS3. The Bridge on PS3, which is crossed by with PS4 and PS Vita. Rocket Birds 2 Evolution on PS Vita, crossed by with PS4. And 2064 Read Only Memories on PS4, crossed by with PS4. And another game I swear by. Enjoyed Read Only Memories quite a bit.
I'm looking at the picture that Kevin's got up on the screen here now.
That's just the
chassis. Does that come with the wheel or any of the hardware, or do you have to add that on yourself?
No, you buy that separately.
Okay.
Show it to the kids, will you?
Okay.
So, this is what we're talking about, right? SimTech, but we say it wrong.
Yeah, we say it wrong.
We're stupid Americans.
The monitor and the pedals and the wheels and everything. You bolt that onto the frame here.
Yeah.
Okay.
The frame is shockingly sturdy.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Like, I have stood on this plate right here, totally fine. It's just everything
high quality material
stands perfectly still. And now let me show you what I was doing at my mom's house when I first got the VR setup.
Yeah, that's not how you want to drive.
A lot of back pain here.
Oh, yeah, so yeah. Do you do this in VR instead of having a monitor in front of you?
Okay. Yeah. It's phenomenal. And then this is what I do.
Yeah,
did
see, that's the whole rig.
Oh, shit,
yeah.
Dude, that is fucking sweet.
I currently have this set up in my garage, and it's so good. I have a fan set up that I put.
But you have to have like a whole other PlayStation out there to. You don't drag your PlayStation out there every time you want to play.
Yeah, I have a PlayStation down there.
I love that your caption for this picture is "Fuck yeah, my life is awesome."
I like that it's "Fuck yeah, my life is awesome!" Period! Exclamation mark.
Also, hold on. I gotta give props to a couple of the comments as well. This looks like a futuristic tech magazine cover from 1991. And can you shit in that thing?
Thank you to our friends at SimTech, who I'm sure we're pronouncing wrong, but sent over that so Kevin could do it. And Logitech sent over the gears and the wheels and stuff, right?
It's a G29.
That's fantastic.
Setup.
Yeah, great. It's time for reader mail, and I know we're late in the episode, kind of. It's hard to tell how long we've been recording anymore because of the break. But it's brought to you by NordVPN. Gary, you know what sucks? Getting your data stolen. But NordVPN is here to help. Start protecting your internet experience with 66% off a 2-year plan by using code GAMES at nordvpn.com/games. NordVPN protects your browsing and data from anyone wanting to snoop through it. They have thousands of servers in more than 61 countries. There's no data logging. NordVPN's Chrome browser is lightweight and user-friendly from the first click. It secures your browsing in seconds. Android and iOS apps are there to secure your mobile browsing experience. They have super fast servers, 24/7 customer support, and 6 simultaneous connections for you to use as you go. Plus, there's an automatic kill switch and military-grade encryption. This is a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. NordVPN is offering my viewers 66% off a 2-year plan. That's about $3.99 per month. Just go to nordvpn.com/games or click in the link in the description of the YouTube video to sign up and start protecting yourself. That's nordvpn.com/games, G-A-M-E-S. Use code GAMES to get started. Gary.
Yeah.
You laid a whole bunch of breadcrumbs out there. And let me tell you, do we have somebody here to gobble them up?
Oh, some
first
breadcrumbs?
First up is Scott McDonald. Scott McDonald writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hey, KFGD hosts. With the news that horse testicles expand and retract in alignment with the temperature in Red Dead Redemption 2, I wonder, can a game be too detailed? Do we really want our games to be too realistic? I, for one, love fantastical games and like them to be silly and over the top. Anyway, love all you do, Scott. P.S. It was amazing meeting Greg, Tim, and Andy in London. I was the guy whose daughter was dressed as Harley Quinn at RTX. Oh, thank you, Scott. There's a photo of her on my Instagram. Gary, are you worried about games getting too realistic?
No. No, I think that, you know, we were talking about this on...
It would have been great if you were just like, no! Dead. That's just it. Conversation over.
We were talking about this on when I was on Red Dead Radio with Jared a few weeks ago.
Oh, from Hop, Whip, and a Jump.
Yeah. I love Jared, and Red Dead Radio is a great podcast, and I was pleased to be on it. We talked about how I was on there right after they dropped that first... it was the second trailer. It was before the gameplay reveal, but it was the second trailer. And it just looked so amazingly detailed, and you can... The point I was making was, if that were a movie, if that were a Western movie, it would look great, and you'd go, yep, there's a guy, they put a guy on a horse and aimed a camera at him, that looks pretty good, and the cinematography is good and what have you. But when you see it as a video game, there's an additional level of admiration that comes from the fact that they had to build that piece by like one pixel at a time. They had to create that entire reality. It's not obviously there's a lot of skill involved in setting up cameras and lights and things, and
making
a new look from the real world.
No talent.
But it's a whole. It's more like an animated movie when you have to build everything from scratch in the computer.
Right.
And so you appreciate things like that. I remember, I've been trying not to watch too much of it because I'm trying to go on Radio Silence, but it's really, really hard. I was watching some of the Red Dead gameplay impressions.
Yeah.
Where you can lose and gain weight and stuff like that, and the animals on the back of your horse that you've hunted, they rot if you don't get them out of the sun in time and things like that. It's just, it all adds another level of immersion, and it really feels like you're living the life of this character rather than just going on. You often feel about things in the context of, well, there's a mission structure. Oh, let's go do a side quest.
Yep.
Let's go do the main mission right now. I think where games are trying to go is getting out of that kind of gamified way of thinking about living in a world, and more just about, this is what it would be like to live the life of this character. The real Arthur Morgan doesn't say, I'm going to go do a side quest. and so maybe Rockstar is trying to get us out of that mode of thinking and more into something along the lines of, what are the choices you would make if you really did the character? Now, do we need to be spending compute power shrinking horse testicles? Maybe not. But the game's not any worse because of it. You're not even going to notice it. You're not going to say, oh, well, the game's too detailed.
Oh, people are totally going to do time lapses on horses.
Oh, they will. We're going to see time lapse of horse testicles pulpating like this.
Yes.
Boom, 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 boom. Oh, as the weather.
Yeah, rising, sagging.
Yeah. And I think that kind of information was brought to our attention because they knew. The people at Rockstar are media savvy enough to know.
That's going
to
get picked up and shared.
That one little thing about horse testicles, because it's testicles and testicles are funny.
Yeah.
they're hilarious, right? Would result in all of this media coverage and
I feel like, to Scott's question, can games get too realistic? Of course, but I don't think every game is striving to be this realistic and have this thing. Red Dead is exactly what you described, right? You want to play that game and you want to feel like you're Arthur Morgan, because that's what Red Dead for John Marston was, of get on the horse, I'm going to just ride and see what happens, what do I want to do today, blah, blah, blah. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, out next week, review embargoes next week, but impression embargo is up now. I put up some Instagram images, I was talking about it. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I'm in love with. I'm having such a great time.
Yeah,
with
you're
it.
Liking that, right?
Having a great time with it. Love it so much. But it is very much what you're talking about of, I'm playing a video game. It is. I'm going to go do a side mission, or I'm going to go do this thing, and I'm going to go sync my viewpoint, or I'm going to take on a bounty hunter. It's not, I'm just getting lost in her as Cassandra. I'm getting lost in her world and being like, oh, it's so realistic. No, it's very much a game, and I'm very much doing specific things. And I think that works really well for what Assassin's Creed is trying to achieve. I think Red Dead is trying to achieve something different, right? Of being this world that is the Westworld experience in a video game. Of just,
yeah, like
whoomp, you're just in
disappear
it.
Inside
exactly.
this world. Yeah.
And so I think games will continue to do that. And I think there's always going to be in games things that are realistic and not realistic, but I don't see us move in. There will be a game that tries to be uber realistic, but you're never going to get to the point of like, well, Arthur Morgan's tired, so he needs to sleep for 8 hours. You know what I mean? To put him down and
that runs
walk away for 8 hours.
Like, with the game.
There are games that there are cooldown periods and things like that, but...
Well, I mean, look at something like Scum, which is very popular right now, which goes to an absolutely ridiculous level of biometrics, and you have to remember to take a shit. And all these kinds not necessarily, but clearly there's that genre, that hardcore survivalist genre, survival game genre, where you have to brush your teeth or your teeth will fall out and this kind of stuff. There's an audience for that. There are people that want that level of granularity and they want that level of hardcore difficulty.
And they will be there. I just don't think you have to worry about every game doing that.
Right.
Time for Ludwig from Vienna to get the floor. He wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, questions for Mr. Witta. Number one. How is Persona 5 doing?
I
it's an albatross.
Yeah. I will get back to it. I
sure
promise.
Well,
I do need
to
finish
it. Thank you.
I'm never going
to
get a platinum trophy or anything, but there's too much other stuff coming out. I should have plowed through and finished it while I had the chance.
Exactly. Yeah, it's too late now.
I will say this. Even, do you think it's possible to play a game? Well, let's use Persona 5 as an example, because I would argue yes. Do you think it's possible to play a game and feel like you had a great experience with it without finishing it?
Yes, that's my experience with the Persona 5.
Right.
That's my experience with The Witcher.
Right.
Witcher, I did 30 hours. I never got out of Act 1. I'm like, this is a great game. See you later.
Right.
Persona 5, I'm like, I've played, I think, again, 30 hours of it. What? It's 90-something?
Yes.
I got to go, man. I got
Seriously.
Things to do.
Yeah.
That's my.
So you had a great time with it.
Totally.
But and your time with it, you don't feel it was diminished by the fact that you didn't see it through to the end?
my time with it wasn't. I do feel like my opinion is diminished in the eyes of the audience. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I feel like I'm not the expert on it.
And it sticks in me a little bit that I haven't finished it. I wanted to see that. I got so invested in the story.
Yeah.
And then you know how it happens. Life gets in the way, and then another game comes out. And
well, there's just too much to do.
And now it's like I've been separated from it long enough that I would have to remember where I was in the story and kind of get back into it, remember what the controls are.
Like, what kind of animal is Morgana? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number two. Seeing he platinum Spider-Man, that's incorrect. Your wife's
see,
platinum Spider-Man.
Now you see, you want to talk about male privilege, which I guess we are now
going to
do.
Apparently. We're on the track.
Whether you want to talk about it or not. Well, read the question.
Seeing as he platinum Spider-Man, and he plans to platinum Persona 5.
See, let's suck. Okay,
so no chance in hell of a platinum for Persona 5.
To correct the record.
Get in there.
And give a shout out to my wife. And I was quite clear about this. My wife and I have both been playing Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man. File.
What's that?
On one save file, or you each have your own
game? No, different profiles.
Gotcha.
Entirely different profiles, different controllers, the whole thing.
Okay.
Have different controllers?
They went and bought the new controllers.
My wife just got one of the new colored controllers. And it's actually great. The way it works is if you power up the PlayStation with that controller, it boots right into her profile. Because it knows that controller is attached to her profile and not mine. Yeah.
Is that a new thing?
Yeah. I don't know if it's new or not, but it does do that.
I guess I only log into my PlayStation with my controller. Well, no, Jen has one. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
And, you know, my one has the blue light and hers has the red light and so forth. So we know whose is whose. I got Spider-Man. I started playing it. My wife was interested in watching it. She said, I'll give this a try.
Yeah.
And then she ended up getting into it even more than I did.
Yeah.
And she is she's better at the combat. She's better at the web swinging. She's got more. She's done more of the Taskmaster. She got the Platinum Trophy.
Yeah. So there's been heated debate inside my head if she should come in and do Widow Wednesdays instead of you.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna, I wish if you were doing the spoiler cast now, I would recommend that she come in and sit with you because she knows the game backwards and front. She even went and got. I don't know if you even did this. She even went and got all of the 50 secret photo locations.
Of course I did, Gary. Come on.
And got the extra suit that comes with it. That's not even part of the platinum.
Yeah, no.
That's like a bonus.
100%. That was like the cherry on top. I thought I was done, and then it wasn't.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And the suit you get's not even that good. It's just kind of the ESU t-shirt and jeans. But yeah, she's very much a completionist. So this game very much spoke to the completionist in her. She got the platinum trophy. I tweeted out a picture that was clearly a picture of the Platinum Trophy attached to her name.
And you like said I married
and
up.
And I said
right?
I married up because I was very proud that my wife platinumed the game.
Yeah.
And then I'm getting all the credit for it. People on Twitter go, oh, well done, Gary. What? I mean, I hope you're saying well done for marrying well because it was all her achievement.
Yeah.
But here you got people saying, oh, Gary's platinumed. I have not yet platinumed the game. I will finish the game. I'm two missions behind finishing it.
Okay.
I've still got to do the last two boss battles.
Sure.
And I know what. I know how much of the game is there left because I saw my wife do it. But I will not platinum it. It's too hard.
It's not that hard.
It's not. Well, it's too hard for me. You have to remember.
Okay.
That's
better. That's better.
Did you enjoy that tweet from PlayStation? I believe it was yesterday. PlayStation UK said it's okay to play games on easy.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I wholeheartedly endorsed that tweet. And then I saw a bunch of people go, no, it's not. You have to play on the hardest level. Fuck you. Play on the level that makes the game fun for you.
Exactly. That's how do you want to enjoy your video games?
What do you typically default normal. To? Just the normal one?
Yeah, well, for me, it stems from when reviewing. I'm just after reviewing games for so long, I'm trying to review the normal experience.
Right, the default
average experience. Yeah.
And do you ever, once you're into playing a game, though, do you ever find yourself upshifting or downshifting based on how the game's treating
you? No, because I mean, it's happened before, but it's super rare. Even with Odyssey right now, I feel like
on normal.
Yeah, right. And I don't feel like I'm struggling, but I also don't feel like I'm coasting. You know what I mean? I feel like it's a good balance of like, I'm not being pushed to an annoyance, right? Like I'm fighting enemies that are a couple higher levels than me, and it is like, ooh, I better balance everything correctly.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. And then his third one, I don't understand, but I'm sure you do. It's an internet rumor. Yes, sir. Any truth to the rumors he is writing the Star Wars trilogy by the Game of Thrones creators?
What? No.
Are the Game of Thrones creators making Star Wars?
So David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, who created the Game of Thrones TV show, are working with Lucasfilm and supposedly on a new... I don't know anything about it anymore because I don't work there anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know what you know. No, there's no truth.
Well, I don't
that
know
rumor.
Anything. Do you want me to start that rumor? Do you want me to call Kathleen Kennedy?
It sounds like it's already started.
All right. Everybody tweet Kathleen Kennedy.
Where would that Gary have come would've. From? That's madness.
I don't know. Maybe he's starting it. Maybe he's just trying to he works for a Star Wars site and he's trying to get it, you know?
Mad.
Sean from Ireland gets the final question of the day at kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, esteemed hosts. Kind of Funny has always talked about how Horizon elevated Guerrilla Games to become one of Sony's top-tier studios. Has Spider-Man done the same for Insomniac in your view? Sean from Ireland. I talk about, yeah, that for sure. I think Horizon was Guerrilla's coming out party to video gamers in general in the industry of like people who ignored Killzone, whatever, it's a shooter I don't care about. I think that definitely was like, no, we're a serious studio now, everybody gets it. I definitely think it's the same way with Insomniac, where I think, sure, they keep making Ratchet and Clank games, which are fantastic and everybody loves, but it's more Ratchet and Clank. And then even Sunset Overdrive not finding an audience, the Fuse game or whatever for EA. I think this definitely puts them on the map of like, no, 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 we're Insomniac Games, we're fucking awesome and everybody knows it now. Agree, Gary?
Yes, wholeheartedly.
Perfect. Time to squad up! This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. Today, Clark needs help on the PlayStation 4. His PSN name is Clark, the letter E. So Clark E underscore 487. Happy Widow Wednesday and episode 301, Kind of Funny Crew. I just recently got the Platinum Trophy for Spider-Man and finished all I wanted to do in Fortnite on Nintendo Switch. So now, I am gearing up for Red Dead Redemption 2, but my friends list is mostly empty. I already have one best friend, but I would like to have more. So hope to see you all in Red Dead Redemption 2's beta happening in November. Clark E underscore 487.
I rarely do online betas, but for Red Dead 2, I will make an exception because I got to get in that world as soon as I possibly can.
But don't you feel like you're going to be still playing the single player of Red Dead?
That just doesn't matter. That's a good point.
I feel like that's where it's going to come down for me of like, oh, I want to see what it's like, but I also want to wait till when it's like and the full, you know, blown, I'm all
set.
Not,
it's not a game you're going to just blow through the single player. It's going to take a while because it seems like it's a pretty big game.
Oh my God. I hate it when I open You're Wrong and there's a million things.
Oh no.
32. Hey,
are they new ones?
Craig,
yeah, yeah.
Can we talk about Odyssey at all?
Like, yeah, I talked about it, that we like it a lot, yeah.
Okay, no, no, no. It's just someone in the chat is saying something. I want to respond to it.
Okay, yeah. Wait, you can't review Odyssey. You can give impressions. Don't spoil any story stuff. All right, cool. Time for You're Wrong. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com.
What were we wrong about?
Capitalist Pig says re-cheese. It's pronounced Jarlsberg. Think Skyrim.
Jarls. No, that's right. Yes, yes. Jarlsberg. That, now that I hear it said that way, that's quite correct. Jarlsberg.
Katie writes in and says, you propose that Kevin start hanging criminals, then the feed cut out. You're wrong, but angry Greg voice. Kevin, what is your answer? Kevin, this could be your vigilante. You know what I mean? You find the bad guys and execute them.
They didn't hear me say yes and said, what do you think the next step is? I guess I'll talk to the government.
Yeah, and then
go be a government agent.
And then the feed went out.
Yeah, I guess so. Interesting.
Kebabs and Capitalist Pig write in about scrotum plural, saying scrotum is either scrotums or scrota.
Aha, uh-huh, so both I was right about scrota.
Both are acceptable. Oh, so did Squires. Man,
that was
got
a shot
lot
in the dark.
Scrota.
Scrota.
Look at all those scrota.
Keelan says, hi, I know this isn't the right place to write in, but wanted to know if my new Irish clothing brand can sponsor your shows. Thanks in advance. I mean, hit us up. The business address is out there. You can sponsor us on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames as well.
Is there not a
Irish
Patreon
clothing
tier?
I wonder what that looks like.
Green.
Wait, is there a Patreon tier for specifically
a sponsorship tier on Patreon, yes.
All right, there you go.
People editorializing. Capitalist Pig says the Xbox launched November 15th, 2001, not 2000 like Gary mentioned.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Around the same time as the PlayStation 2 came out, around the same time.
Kebab says Uncharted The Lost Legacy was announced at PSX, as was Last of Us 2. Oh, God. Oh, really? Kebab says I'm wrong, and that the PSX 2016's dates were announced. Now, see, Trevor's correcting Kebab's, so there you go. I'm going to go to Trevor Starkey. Fuck you, Kebab's. Trevor says, PSX 2016 was formally announced on September 27th, 2016. So we have not passed the threshold
one more
until
day.
Tomorrow. If tomorrow they do it, can you imagine? I'm like, fuck yeah, there you go. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. Just keeps going. People just arguing semantics. Oh, no. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so now Capitalist Pig, who has more information, again, because Kebab is a low-rent Capitalist Pig.
Oh,
PSX 2014, which took place in Las Vegas, was announced October 10th, 2014. So we still have plenty of time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no need. No need for alarm.
No
alarms.
I don't care about that. I don't care about that. Deal of the day. I'm not gonna do that. To clarify regarding, no, we already talked about scrotums. Erroneous says the Walking Dead final season is still on sale on the PSN EU and Microsoft Store EU.
So still in the in Europe, but yeah. Not in the US.
Zaire says there's a new announcement. Shovel Knight is coming to Brawlhalla. Okay. Jesus Christ, it keeps going. It's just a heads up that this isn't your wrong. Stop just giving me things. These are like people are teasing things. I don't fucking care. I'll talk about that tomorrow.
You need to throw your wrong back at them. You're wrong for sending me things that aren't about us being wrong.
Oh, okay. This will be the final one. It's not a you're wrong. AJ says, hey guys, I'm sorry for the downer, but I thought since you talked about the story on Monday and didn't talk about it yesterday/today, it should be updated. Chris Taylor, the Smash fan who had terminal cancer, has passed away a few days after having his dream come true. Here's his brother's statement. Today, and this is from Nintendo Life, today, Chris passed away around 5 p.m. Eastern. He was surrounded by friends and family when it happened in the comfort of his own home. On behalf of him and our family, we're extremely thankful for the love and support Chris has gotten. You guys made it possible for his wish to come true. I hope Chris's memory lives on through all of you. That's sad, but I'm glad he got to live his dream before it all ended. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news in the video game world. If you like that, you can watch the show on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and listen in on podcast services around the globe. Of course, we invite you to be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, like so many of you do. Tomorrow's host is none other than Odell Harmon Jr. You might say, who is that? He is one of the many people I'm trying to get on this show to help expand reach. Met him. He has a podcast. He does YouTube stuff, and he's pretty awesome. So I'm excited to introduce you, most of you, I assume, to him tomorrow. Gary, as usual, you killed it.
Thank you, Greg. Had a few technical hiccups, but we rode out the storm.
I blame that on you as well. You know what I mean? That'll be a mark on your permanent record.
You got to take the rough with the smooth.
Exactly. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
Like scrotums.
Scrotum.